Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, even your mortal enemy about this, because this is a platform, a program that everyone needs to get behind. It affects the entire planet, all life, and it's the only planet we've got. Right? It ain't going to be all like science fiction where basically in the future we can basically have colonies up on the moon or anywhere else. Earth is the only place that can support this kind of life. So please, get involved. This is Kakuna from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces, the one and only, accept no substitutions. It's 9 o'clock here on the dot, and you're listening to Kakuna from the microphone. I'm DJ Butterfly Feces, and on the side of this line is the one and only, Comedy Organic OK.
Comedy Organic OK. Isn't that supposed to be so natural in how you actually, you know, digest it, how you hear it, right?
Right.
And I just wanted to ask you, I've been tending to ask you this question.
Go ahead.
Have you truly been experiencing your desires as you have been moving on this journey? Have you been experiencing your desires?
Now that's a real head scratcher. I mean, dang. I mean, I know I was doing this big noble crusade here with you, going around there picking up garbage, helping the planet, helping the homeless and whatever. But am I truly? Look, let us know what you think. We invite you to call in. This is a call-in show. Somebody call in. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. If you're just joining us, where have you been? I basically spent most of my life living in McKinleyville, California. That was my hometown. I was born there, raised there, lived there. Thought I was going to die there. I thought I'd never get to see the rest of the world. In a weird way, I didn't want to. I was so happy and cozy in my home. I was so cozy and happy living in this place, this sort of paradise, if you paradise. All I want is to sit back and revel and partake in it. I mean, it's true. It's completely true. I was just a guy who was just getting by. My whole thing in life was to get by. McKinleyville. Horses have the right way. We got everything in McKinleyville. We have a beach. It's Northern California, so it snows there too. You can walk. You can hike. You can ride bikes. You can skateboard. Do a lot of sightseeing and whatever. Such a happening place. We got a high crime population there, too. But, hey, like I said, McKinleyville had everything. Now, honestly, I was a guy who was more than just a little angry and destitute. Because in a weird way, I felt like I let the world pass me by. I was happy doing the bare minimum in life. You know, I was just, you know, I was a C average student. I didn't make big waves. We all kind of knew each other. I was the guy who just sat back and mellowed out and grooved, you know. I did everything there was to do in McKinleyville. I sledded, I skied, I snowboarded, I surfed, I parasailed, windsurfed, and I basically went horseback riding at times. I did it all. Everything there was to do there. In a weird way, I thought maybe I should go because things were starting to get a little bit restless.
Did you learn it from your father? Did your father teach you how to ski? Or where did you learn how to do all these things?
Well, there are places in McKinleyville where basically they'll teach you. I mean, basically some of the kids at school actually kind of showed me. Me and my father, we talked, but we were never close. I don't know what it was, you know. The day finally came when basically I graduated high school, and it's like, what am I going to do now? What next?
Were you close to your mother?
When I was little, she basically told me that I was her little miracle. She was proud of me, proud to know me, proud to hold me, just proud of me. I was her divine, whatever. As I got older, she started telling me, you're a bum, just like your father.
Say again.
When I got a little older, she looked at me and said, you are a bum, just like your father.
Oh. So she abused you. She abused your multiple chain, huh? Oh, my goodness.
Just for lack of a better word.
Yeah,
funny thing. At the end, it seemed like I hadn't really been doing much of anything. You got to realize that in McKinleyville, I was thinking about going to college, getting a job. But the thing is, in McKinleyville, there weren't a lot of jobs wanting. There weren't a lot of places available for rent or to buy because everybody who basically lived there, loved it there, stayed there. So basically, there wasn't a lot of room for vacancy. It seems like that's the way it is all over. There's just too many people. Dang. I sat in my room. I had a blog talk radio show just like this one, when, you know, before, except it was doing my own thing or whatever. I told all my friends to listen in. I don't think any of them ever did. But at the same time, I don't even think they knew how. I mean, on terrestrial radio, it's pretty simple, you know. You know, you just turn on your car stereo or your alarm clock, whatever, and put it on a radio station, and it'll pick it up. But, you know, I never really figured out how you listen to blog talk radio. What do you put on? You go on the Internet and listen to it? Whatever. Anywho, it went without wanting. I basically had the free account, the trial membership we had for a while, and then that ran out. They wanted me to start paying for it, which I had the money to do that. It happened around the holidays. My parents said they wanted me out. It's not like they wanted more time to each other. In fact, they let me stay as long as they did, because otherwise they'd have to talk to each other. I don't think they ever did that. I think my parents stayed together as long as they did because they didn't have the energy to leave. They didn't have really the desire to do anything. They just felt so, you know. Anywho, what happened was, I had basically been kicked out of the house. I left with just the clothes on my back and a backpack that wasn't even half full. I walked out of the house, and I thought about how they waited until the end of the year, the holidays, to do all this. You know, when you're first basically kicked out of your home, you don't have any money to go out there and get another one. You know, at first it doesn't really quite click in your head. You're like, dear God, I'm homeless. I'm a vagabond. I'm somebody on the street. It doesn't quite click, you know. At first I thought, no, that's just a setback. Me and my parents will work this out. They're not really going to put me on the street, are they? I don't know. I just have a desire to, well, do something. I don't know what it is. I wish I had gotten to go to college. But everybody basically goes to college now and they're still suffering. This world had turned into a pretty scary one, especially in this country. I'm not trying to get political or nothing, but come on, things are bad all over. And for a first world country, there was a real homeless unemployment problem that was going on and just, you know, it was messed up is what it was. Anywho, what happened was I basically happened to be walking down Hammond's Trail through the woods. I passed by the waterfall, as I often do. It's beautiful. I told you, a waterfall. We got everything in McKinleyville. And then I came across the campsite, and there a bunch of people were sitting around eating outdoors, talking. I decided I could smell the food from there. I decided to go over there and say hello. I might as well because I get to know these people. I didn't know these people. Who were they? But I knew everyone in town. I went over there and introduced myself. And then I asked what their story was, and they told me that they were going around all around the planet, that they were basically picking garbage up off the streets, helping the homeless, and doing big things, wonderful big things, helping the homeless. And I remember thinking, I wanted to do that too. I wanted to. And I came across somebody by the name of Comedy Organic OK. That was you. Right? I came across you, and you told me your whole story. You were going around doing this thing or whatever. And then I told you my story, how I just got kicked out of my home. And then you offered to take me in. You basically offered to put, for a while, you let me join you on this noble crusade, picking up garbage with you. You said I need a moniker, I remember. And you chose DJ Butterfly Feces. DJ Butterfly Feces because it's the truth. Now, DJ Butterfly Feces, everyone basically knows about how the caterpillar spins a cocoon, and he goes inside. He works in his workshop to toil to emerge a beautiful butterfly. But no one really thinks about is the fact that what the butterfly leaves behind, the droppings and whatever, how that's manure, how it fertilizes and causes everything to grow. Now, even hearing this, I did not like the name DJ Butterfly Feces. I asked to give myself my own moniker. He said, no, dude, you want to be one of those people who try to give yourself a nickname, man. People got no friends or whatever, you know. People hate people who give themselves nicknames. Don't do that. Who gave you yours? I did. No, don't put it. Okay. Your DJ Butterfly Feces. I said, all right. We spent the rest of the night talking and whatever, and then, before I know it, around morning, we set sail. Well, actually, we flew out. We went to Vicenza, Italy. That's right, Vicenza, Italy. Now, they celebrate New Year's a little different than we do and whatever. Because New Year's Day, we celebrate New Year's Eve and New Year's Day there, and then there was special. There was a peace day. There was a whole parade and whatever on the very first of the year. It was also beautiful. Now, if you're just joining us, we've basically, last episode, we were in McKinleyville, California. McKinleyville, California. No. Last episode, we were in Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville. We spent 14 days there. And this time, Organic let us, you know, partake in the festivities. He basically paid it, and we all got to basically see a stage show and whatever, see all the action. Nashville is almost like the birthplace of country music. There it runs hot. There it runs hot and deep. And we even have to go to a paying show because there were plenty of musicians right there on the street who were singing their hearts out and whatever. Dang, it was gorgeous. Once again, it was time to go. I didn't want to go, you have to understand. I didn't because I felt like there was so much left to do there. And also, I was having such a good time. The funny thing is a lot of the cities started to all kind of feel the same because, I mean, every city we went to, we were there to pick up trash and try to help the homeless. We did this everywhere, no matter where we went. So, you know, certain stuff was just, I don't know. Dang. But in Nashville, we got to partake in everything. It's music and it's politics. So we left with some regret. I asked Organic, where are we headed to now? What's our next stop? We're going to your favorite place. And I remember thinking, my favorite place, he doesn't mean we're going back to McKinleyville, do we? You know, in a way, I didn't want to see what my parents were up to. I wanted them to see how somebody took me in. It's 15 minutes after the hour here, 9:15 here on the program, cocooning from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. let me know what you think. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Now, excuse me. Basically, he told me, we're going back to L.A. L.A. He's being facetious when he said that. God, dude, I hated L.A. I know I've said this on the show before, but I'm going to say it again. Now, L.A., once again, they seem to declare war on homeless people. There's lines after lines of people living in tents or whatever. They can't even sleep in their car because over there that's against the law. It's like they're just desperately trying to get you to buy their homes. Like they want – everybody needs a home, a roof and four walls, whatever. But they want to make it so you needed to buy it from them. Need it or die. How messed up was that? I wanted to go over there and fight this law, but I felt like we'd been there plenty of times before, personally, whatever. There were a lot of people who were on the street, and they weren't just entertainers who came to L.A. and didn't make it. They were ordinary, average, everyday people who just partook in what L.A. had. L.A. was once, okay, L.A., before L.A., before Hollywood came along, L.A. was a big, major city that where there was a lot of lush, fertile land for everyone to enjoy. It was a kind of paradise. That's why it was called the City of Angels. And then what happened was Hollywood came along, and then, I don't know, I think just trying to put all in one place just kind of turned the... it's just a crying shame is what it is. Anywho, then we're headed back to L.A. There we were. We were going back. I want to stay in Nashville. I was just tired of it. I realized this place needed our help. We go to these cities because they need us. That is the point. Besides, there were worse places basically we could have been sent. I wonder why Organic kept sending us to L.A. Did he like it there or something? Once again, we went back, and somehow it just seemed like the problem we helped to rectify was even worse. It would pick up garbage, sure, but does that help enough during in the big picture, the big perspective of things? And also, at the same time, we pick up garbage, then what do? They just make more. What the hell to do? What to do? I basically spent a lot of my time just feeling kind of depressed. There we were back in L.A. Things were worse. Organic, how are we going to help the homeless? You tell me. You tell me right now. All right, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pick up some more garbage. We're going to try to get some off the street. We're going to try to make it so maybe they could, so a few people can live in their cars and whatever. We're going to basically try to make it so things were better. You know? I understood that. I immediately started to pick up the garbage. I thought, that's a problem with picking up garbage. We're picking up somebody else's garbage. You know, they're just going to make more. It's like when your kid makes a mess. When they're really little, real little, you clean up after them. But then you want to get a certain age where they start cleaning up after themselves. That's going to help them in life. I mean, come on. What to do? I basically just started picking up garbage, picking up everything. Whatever. Making the city clean again. Once again, going through this. I was kind of making excuses, but I remember just thinking, how's this really helping people? Does throwing garbage that way really, is it really that harmful, that dangerous to anything? Really hurting things in some way? I don't know. I came across this woman on the street who was singing. She was singing and playing her guitar, and I thought about all, and I thought about all the singers in Nashville we saw, but how much more beautiful the music was when it was live and on the street. I stood back to listen to her. I wanted to give her something. Maybe money? I don't know. I remember just thinking about how much I want to be around her. I basically, just hearing this woman sing made me want to basically throw my underwear up on the stage for her. But of course she wasn't on the stage, she was on the street. She sang, she played. It was beautiful. Dang. I basically found myself just wanting to help her out maybe in some way. Then before I knew it, some guy came up from behind her and wrapped his arms around her and kissed her. Oh, dang, she had a boyfriend. I thought, no, you know, it doesn't matter. Even if she's seeing somebody, I should still help, right? I mean, come on. I know guys basically do the stuff they do for women, they mostly do because, you know, they think maybe this will get them laid. I know that. But I really wanted to basically make this difference a little bit better. I'm going to organic. I said, organic. Maybe we convince people to basically build another homeless shelter. I mean, I know they got some of them out here, but there could always be more. We got to make it so they're sheltering people and giving them more help, giving them the help that they need. You know? I mean, dang, there's not enough help going on here. Good, yeah. Look at that. I basically tried to I tried talking to all the homeless people basically all around us, and I thought basically, organic, could maybe cut their hair and nails, you know, make some of them over just a little bit. Dude, that'd be nice. But you have to understand, see, the equipment we use to cut their hair and nails, take care, to clean them up, whatever. We got to clean that stuff every single time we use it. Even at a professional nail salon, they're not homeless. They have to clean it after each customer uses it so nobody gets an infection, you know? We're out here. I remember feeling down. Just basically, I don't know. All I could think about was that singer, that woman who had the boyfriend, and how much I felt like, even though she's seeing somebody, she's not going to give me some romance with me. Dang it, I should still be helping her somehow. And so I thought, how do we get them to open up another homeless shelter to expand their means? Well, Gary said, there has to be more money. There has to be more, there has to be some, personally, whatever. Okay. He said, I'm an okay beautician. I mean, I can cut their hair and nails, and I can make them look okay and pleasant, a little bit more presentable than being here on the street. I can do that. All I could think about was how much I wanted to make things better. I went to the park and shot hoops, basically, with some of the locals there. I told him about my crusade, what I came out here to do. And I told him that basically there's this guy who's basically funding everything, and we're going around, we're trying to help, we're trying to make things better. And I said, good for you, man. I hope you pull it off. Even they didn't sound like they had much faith. Because okay, here's the thing. You don't want there to be homeless people. You just have a place to stay. But so many dang jobs. And there's so few dang jobs. So many people. People don't want to spend money to basically get people off the street a little bit for a while. I mean, dang, it's that simple. I went back to talk to the girl who was playing the guitar on the street. And I told her that I loved her music. I said that basically I heard music and I preferred listening to it on the street. You know? It sounds better when it's raw and real and not basically played back on some clean disc. I don't know what to do. I guess in the end, all I could think about was basically how much this whole city was starting to get to me. L.A. is like any place else. When you're broke, there ain't much for you. Everything goes to everything else. Dang. It just feels like some people basically are getting a better shake. I asked the singer, I told her about our mission. I told her what we were doing, I told her what me and Organic OK were doing. I told her all about it. And all she could say to me real was that how she was grateful that someone out me was doing what I was doing. But would she really be helped? Would she? Truth is, life is so damning.
So, saying all that, I was going to interject on that. This is the thing. It takes me back. I was in the city of Berkeley. I was actually coming up Martin Luther King Street. And when you come to Martin Luther King, it meets the actual Aspie, right? So Martin Luther King's up and down the street, Aspie is across the street. And I wasn't quite at Aspie, but I was coming up and I was talking to this guy, right? I don't call people homeless. I call them relocated, right?
Yeah.
So that's the thing that you, so I'm talking to him, and as I was talking to him, CeCe's, are you hearing me?
Yeah, I can hear every word.
No, this is the thing. Me and him were talking, and we're coming up on a store. We were going to, I thought maybe he wanted something to drink. I was going to treat. So he says that I get inside. He says, get whatever you want. Because his conversation with me was, do whatever you want, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't know, I just thought he wanted something. You know, he went inside the store. So went inside the store. He said, get whatever you wanted. So when I came out and I got something, he's like, I hear you talking. I hear what you're saying. I can tell that you are a genuine person that, it's, you know, your intention is not, you know, to do wrong. And that's the day he treated me. And I was looking to treat him. So this is the thing. Understand this at all different levels. When you got unwanted pressure, undesirable things that's going to hinder you, you're going to see the delivery of what that means, where you're located at in your life. And even if you're not technically at your best point and you're just going through the steps in a movement, right? You're going to start seeing things that is going to be intense.
Thank you all for listening to Kakuna from the Microphone. You get all our shows off the web on Blog Talk Radio. All right. I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you. And good night.